Is vaping actually a good way to quit smoking? We don't know.
Academics in particular are very concerned about the fact that they feel the Center for Drugs has made it essentially impossible for them to do these tests.
And introducing a new term, grandsharenting.
It's creating a little bit of a tension between generations right now.
Plus, want to invest in Bitcoin? Consider stocks. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at why vaping hasn't yet been fully studied for its potential ability to reduce deaths from smoking, here's what you missed. A new obstacle for Boeing. In a letter to the company, federal regulators stripped Boeing of its long-standing ability to inspect and sign off on its planes before delivering them to airlines. Now, the Federal Aviation Administration said it will need to do the final sign-off on each 737 MAX before delivery. It's not clear how much of a delay the change will create. But the move does signal that getting the MAX back into the skies will be more complicated and time-consuming than previously projected. Boeing said that it, quote, continues to work with the FAA on the safe return to service of the MAX fleet. Are Mexican drug cartels terrorists? President Trump said in an interview with commentator Bill O'Reilly yesterday that the U.S. plans to designate Mexican drug cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. President Trump didn't give any details on the plans, but said that he'd been working on them for the past 90 days.
I don't want to say what I'm going to do, but they will be designated.
It's a designation that could expand the scope of U.S. action. It could allow the U.S. to impose tougher legislation and harsher penalties. But Mexican officials aren't happy with the proposal. They view it as the U.S. attempting to more directly intervene in Mexican affairs. An update on the cave fire just outside of Santa Barbara, California. It began on Monday and quickly spread due to high winds. The fire burned through 4,300 acres, causing more than 5,000 people to evacuate their homes. As of this recording, authorities said they hoped a rainstorm moving into the area would help with their efforts to contain the fire. But the storm could bring its own challenges. There are now warnings to residents in Santa Barbara about potential mudslides in the area. Now, our main story this morning. It has to do with the claim that you might have heard, that vaping is a good way to help you if you're trying to quit smoking traditional tobacco cigarettes. Now we're reporting that the Food and Drug Administration, which has already been criticized for not moving quickly to address the health risks of e-cigarettes, is now facing criticism from the other side. Some scientists and doctors say the FDA hasn't done enough studies to see if vaping could actually help reduce deaths from traditional smoking. J.R. Whalen has been finding out more from Tom Burton.
So, Tom, it's cumbersome testing processes that are slowing down the process of studying e-cigarettes. Is that right?
That's basically right. There are a lot of academics in the United States who want to study whether e-cigarettes may very well be the best way for cigarette smokers to quit smoking. And because of some complications in the way the FDA sets up its rules for testing drugs, these academics say that it's virtually impossible for them to do the studies.
How does division inside the FDA play a role here?
Well, there are two divisions that play a role. One is the Center for Drugs, and the other is the Center for Tobacco Products. And the Center for Drugs, which has existed a long time before the Tobacco Products Center did, The Center for Drugs has had very rigorous standards of how you test drugs, which is fine. The problem is, in this case, according to many of the academics who've been dealing with the issue, is that there are 480,000 people every year who die from cigarette smoking causes. And so in their view, the FDA is not taking the view that this is an emergency, that it's a public health emergency. The Center for Tobacco Products plays a role as well, and they're going to be the ones who will probably decide whether e-cigarettes are allowed to stay on the market next year. But in the meantime, academics in particular are very concerned about the fact that they feel the Center for Drugs has made it essentially impossible for them to do these tests.
But the FDA does fast-track testing on other drugs.
That's right. It fast-tracks, in particular, cancer drugs. And the thought being that hundreds of thousands of people die of cancer. Actually, it's a pretty comparable number of people in America who die of non-tobacco-related cancers versus tobacco causes. And yet they've taken the issue of cancer drugs seemingly a lot more seriously, or at least taking it as a very urgent matter, and are fast-tracking cancer drugs.
And now for the FDA, this is a similar situation to what we saw with AIDS drugs in the 1980s.
It is pretty similar. I mean, people with AIDS back in the 1980s were saying, well, geez, you know, why can't we get access to experimental drugs? We're dying otherwise. It's not as if we're being protected from anything. And at that time, again, in the late 1980s, the AIDS groups were able to convince the FDA that many patients with AIDS ought to be getting drugs on what they call a parallel track. In other words, getting drugs while drugs were being tested as part of clinical studies. That has not happened with e-cigarettes. It has happened to a degree with cancer drugs.
Is there any indication as to what could jumpstart the testing of e-cigarettes, or are we just sort of stuck in this sort of logjam?
Well, for now, we're stuck in the logjam, and unfortunately, the bottom line figure is that, again, 480,000 Americans, nearly 500,000, are dying from cigarette causes. And the view seems to be, no one at the FDA has said this, but the view seems to be that people who smoke, their behavior is causing their illnesses. And so I think maybe that's one reason that this issue is not regarded with the same sense of urgency as the situation of other cancer drugs.
We should just add here that the FDA's Center for Drugs declined numerous requests to make its officials available for an interview with us. You can find Tom's story up on WSJ.com. On to markets. If you've ever been tempted to invest in Bitcoin or a similar cryptocurrency, you might have been worried by its volatility. We mentioned on Monday that the price of a Bitcoin recently hit a six-month low. But today we're reporting on an interesting way that some people have looked to add Bitcoin exposure to their portfolios. It's pretty simple. They've just invested in plain old stocks. Mike Bird explains.
So Bitcoin's surged and crashed in value at various times over the past few years. That's a bit much for a lot of investors, actually some of whom have mandates that mean they can't invest in Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies anyway. They're limited to listed securities like stocks. And that's where some analysts like Tom Wolfe at D.A. Davidson have ideas on how investors can play these rallies and their stocks like Overstock.com and Nvidia. Some of these companies are involved directly in Bitcoin-related activities, but some of them are just involved in things like chip production and technology that will benefit from the increased adoption of cryptocurrencies, blockchain, and Bitcoin. So it might be of interest to investors who are a little bit more limited as to what they're allowed to hold or don't want to hold Bitcoin because of the underlying volatility, but that can hold stocks that are related to the sector.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. We're going to get a lot of economic data. First up, we'll get data on durable goods orders for October. That will give us a sense of the health of the manufacturing sector. Then we'll get pending home sales data. The key question there is what impact low interest rates have had on sales. Lastly, we'll get the final beige book of the year. This will tell us what's happening in the economy in the Federal Reserve's 12 districts. Finally, here's a new term for you. I introduced it earlier in the show, grand sharenting. If you've been dying to know what it means, it's when grandparents maybe get a bit carried away posting photos of their grandchildren on social media. Sometimes it's against the wishes of their children. Our family and tech columnist Julie Jargon has more.
Yeah, a lot of the generation that's grown up with Facebook has kind of pulled away from it a bit, you know, with all of the concerns that are out there about data privacy. A lot of young parents now are hoping to shield their children from overexposure on social media, including Facebook. And they're running into issues when their own parents, who are, you know, somewhat newer to Facebook, are, you know, posting photos of their grandchildren. So that's creating some tension, intergenerational tension between the grandparents and their adult children.
Julie adds, if you've found yourself on either side of this situation, there are some tips. Make sure photos are just shared with close friends, not the whole world. Turn off location sharing and try to wait until after an event has finished to post a photo instead of doing it in real time. That's what's news from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.